Hey, I am so happy of being back here. I was in Mexico, for those that don't know, and I finally got back, and we had an awesome trip. Now, we're not going to share what we did in Mexico today. We're going to share it next week, so you don't want to miss next week when we come back and share it. But we want to continue straight into the series of tribes, and here's what I need everybody to do right now. I need everybody to go with me in prayer, because what I'm about to teach in the next 30 minutes needs a miracle. There's no way to teach this topic in 30 minutes, so I need a miracle. All right. I need it. This one sermon would require a whole month for me to be able to teach you. So let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower me and to open up your minds and give me the wisdom to be able to teach it. Father, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. And as we go into this sermon today, Lord, this teaching, I need you to help me, Lord, be able to teach it, but do it efficiently in your name. I ask you for wisdom over my life, Lord, and I ask you that every minute we use it wisely. I ask you to give understanding to those listening, God, over on the internet, those that are downloaded, that are on iTunes, those that are inside the building, God. I pray that you give them just an open understanding, so as we go into the sermon, Lord, they're able to understand and be able to see and understand what you're trying to say into their lives. It's such a crucial message. It's so simple, but so crucial. At the same time, we miss it. So, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to empower me and empower my brothers and sisters and those listening so they can be able to grasp the fullness of your word and be able to understand what you have for their lives and for our lives. Let us stand up today, Lord, and be able to receive the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tribes. We're talking about tribes, and when we talk about tribes, there's many things I want to tell you. So the first 10 minutes, what I want to do is I want everybody to be able to take notes, and I want you to be able to understand the full notion of what we're trying to teach in tribes. When we talk about tribes, what happened was that I went on a spiritual retreat, and in the spiritual retreat, I read a leadership book by Seth Godin, and it's called Tribes. And the book isn't all that. Now, I'm not critiquing it. It's not all that. The book is more of a motivational book that speaks about leadership, but even though it spoke about leadership, something clicked in my mind while I was reading it. And what clicked in my mind was the importance of understanding what a tribe was. Now, in that book, tribes is described as people connect. Any tribe is people connecting to one of the three following things, or actually all three of them. Number one, connecting to other people. Number two, connecting to common interest. And number three, connecting to a leader. Now, when you're able to connect to other people, to a common interest, and to a leader, boom, you have a tribe. Now, it doesn't matter what type of classification you'll give to the tribe. If you did these three things, you accomplished a tribe. If they have, if it's people connecting to other people, there's relationships. If there's people connecting to a leader, if there's people connecting to a common interest or an idea, when people come together, it's this simple. I'm going to simplify it. When people come together and they make a group, and this group has a common interest and they're communicating amongst each other, then you have a tribe. A tribe is based on two basic concepts, and the basic concepts are to have something that you're all passionate about. Everybody's passionate about this one thing. When you get a group of people to come together and be passionate about one thing, and they start communicating to each other, and they have their own type of language on the system, that becomes a tribe. Tribes become generations sometimes. Millennials are a tribe. Generation X is a tribe. Why? Because they have a way of speaking. They have common interests. They have common goals. They relate one to each other. So they become tribes. And when we talk about tribes, there's many types of tribes. One type of tribe that everybody would ignore here is the tribes of social media. Social media is a tribe. People go on to, you look at the way we text. When you look at the way we text, the way we write, a Generation X, when you text and you text the word you, you text Y-O-U. Millennials just put the letter U. There's a different way of communication. And inside social media, you will find different tribes. You find on Facebook, you find some pages, and these pages are dedicated to specific things. Why? Because they have a common interest. They go one way. There are fan pages of different artists. They're followers of different things. In fact, in social media, you actually pick up followers. So if you have a follower, when you say, I'm going to follow this person, you decided that that was your leader. Because if you're following him, because they're a leader. Pastor, they're not my leader. I'm just following what they say because I'm what? Interested in what they say. So if you're interested in what they say and you're following them, then you just became a tribe with them. Now, you may have not thought it that way, but it became a tribe. Here's another tribe you may belong to. You may become to a social club, and a social club becomes a tribe also. They have a common interest. They have a language. They know what they're after, and they relate one to each other. Now, I believe social clubs are on the verge of disappearing if we don't do something quickly, because as time goes by, people have started understanding that the clubs are just for a specific group, and they feel they're not in an outreach, and there needs to be a revival in social clubs. That did make a difference for many years. Here's another type of tribe that you may belong to. Now, this one's very, very common. See, I belong to the tribe of the New York Knicks. I belong to that tribe. I'm a New York Knicks tribe fan. I know right now in North Carolina, that doesn't go very well. To those listening in New York City are like, yeah! You know, those here are not in agreement with me, but I am a New York Knicks, and I am a Giant fan. I'm also a Panther fan, so don't freak out on me. But you pick a tribe, and you have a common interest, and you speak the same language, and they'll wear the same clothes. And I want you to understand this, because tribes are all over, and you're going to pick one to belong to. Here's a tribe that everybody tends to pick every now and then. We also pick a tribe. We tend to pick a political tribe. We speak different languages. We come in agreement with them. We relate to people in that same tribe. And in disagreement or in agreement, here's what tribes tend to do. One tribe tends to hate another tribe and vice versa. And tribes tend to compete against each other, and we tend to pick tribes. Even in politics, some independents, some Democrats, some Republicans, whatever it is, that becomes a tribe too, because you start relating to it. Now, there's even some tribes are a little more powerful. For example, when you take 21 nationalities and you put them inside one building, that becomes a tribe. It becomes a tribe because what they do is they come in agreement to speak the same language, even though there was a difference of language. They come together to form a tribe because they have a common interest. They find the leader or leaders, and their leaders guide them to be able to become an efficient tribe. And when you think about it's not just church can become a tribe, but also your ministry is a tribe. So if you're a ministry leader here, you're going to love this series, because this series will talk to you about the need of making your tribe survive. Now, the best and the most important tribe of all is the tribe of family. And that's the one I want to focus on during the whole series. That's the one I want to focus on. Your family is a tribe. You know, it's funny because my son Josue married a Granite Falls country girl. And we've become, being with her, my family has gotten a country influence. It's so funny because my family gets together and we'll say things like, I'll text now and I'll say, it's okay, how y'all doing? You know, I literally write Y apostrophe A-L-L. I don't even know if it's written that way, but I write y'all. And the other day I caught myself writing to her, to Hannah's mom, which was Rebecca, and I wrote, y'all decide this year. And I was like, y'all, what the heck am I doing? That's something you'll never see, a Puerto Rican writing y'all. I mean, come on. And it's the influence that she's brought upon my tribe, and I'm starting to speak her language. And funny or not, we say words in Spanish that she's never heard before. And because she's become part of my tribe, she's learned it also. And there's some things that tribes don't accept, because it doesn't mean you're identical to everybody in that tribe. When you become a Democrat, doesn't mean you're all Democrat. And when you become a Republican, doesn't mean you're all Republican either. You say, oh, yes, I am, Pastor. Oh, no, you are. And sooner or later, it's going to be something that's going to upset you. We can't even come in agreement in our family members. We sit with our family members and we don't come in agreement with our family members sometimes. And it happens. I was in Mexico and we're walking down the street, and today in our Spanish service, my other daughter-in-law, Cindy, is making a Mexican treat for the Mexicans inside the congregation. It's called elote, and you guys would love elote. It's boiled corn with mayo and chili. Just thinking about it. Here's one Mexican right there applauding. You're the only guy in the room applauding, dude. Here's the thing about it. When I think about that, it makes me nauseous. I can't even. It's like, oh, my gosh. So I turn to my other son, Chris, and I say, Chris, you're married to her. What's the deal with elote? She's making it again. And he says, any good? She says, Dad, she's a great cook, But that thing is just downright disgusting, Dad. I can't. He says, I can't even hold it down. It's just gross. But here it is. So she becomes part of our tribe, and we become part of hers, but that doesn't mean we accept everything in the tribe, and that's okay. There are some things that you will not assimilate to, but there will be a common interest that unites you, and that common interest is so important because that's what makes a tribe. But here's my fear. What happens and what causes a tribe to disappear? What makes a ministry be here today singing and praise and worship, and tomorrow, boom, they're gone. Pastor, it doesn't happen. Yes, it does. What makes a church rise and then fall? What makes a family be together and then they're all scattered and broken? What makes it? What happens? What makes you at your company lose your company overnight? What makes you lose your finances overnight? What made that dad run away from home? What were the things that made that marriage broke? A man and a woman come together and they may be sitting here and there's a couple that's here and says, Pastor, we don't have any kids yet. You don't have any kids yet, but you became a tribe by yourself. You actually left your native tribe and you became a tribe by yourself. What makes it disappear? What makes mom and those two kids? What makes grandma and those children? Because family is not just mom, dad, and children. Families come in all sorts, sizes, and colors. What makes a family disappear? What makes a tribe disappear? So it hit me, and when it hit me, I started thinking about it. Tribes disappearing. And then we go back to our forefathers. Let's go back to them. Come on. Let's go back to our forefathers. Ready? I'm going to get in trouble now. Let's go back to our forefathers. Let's go back to the beginning. Okay? Let's go back to those tribes of North Americans. Let's take a look at them and let's think about them for a second. And as we think about them, let it come to your mind, all right? When you think about those forefathers, you say, which, Pastor? No, I ask you, which? What do you mean, Pastor? I ask you, which? Was it the ones like George Washington, like Abraham Lincoln? Or was it the tribe before them? Which were those first North Americans? Well, Pastor, first North Americans, and for God's sake, we all know it was George Washington. I have a problem with that. Why? History tells me contrary. See, history tells me George Washington was an immigrant. Oh, Pastor, no, he wasn't. Oh, yes, he was. And it was built on that. And I'll go further. When you go further into history, I mean, you could literally sit down and you could see a map of North America in the old times. And when you look at it, North America was full of Indians all over. Where are those tribes? What happened to those tribes? They disappeared. And you're thinking, because they were weak. Do you really think they were weak? Now, to those online watching, you could see it. To those listening, you can. To the ones in the house. But I have a map before you that shows all types of tribes. And the ones that are in bold, great letters are the tribes that were greater and larger than any. And look at just at the Cherokee in our area. The Cherokee Indians. That was a strong tribe. They were the last souls surviving. To now, nowadays, you could travel to Tennessee and go up the mountain. Actually, you could go to the Cherokee Reservation, and they're still there, existing today. But they are not the power they used to be. Little by little, the tribe disappeared, and it faded away, and it lost its strength. So history tells us that tribes rise and tribes fall. And you say, Pastor, why do tribes fall? Why, Pastor, what are you saying? Your family's here today. You don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow. Your marriage is here today. You don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow. Your kids are with you today. And tomorrow they could disappear. What makes, to those that don't have children yet, how can you guarantee me that you're going to have a home where everybody's jointed together? You know, somebody, a young couple sat across from me yesterday as we met, and she looks at me and she came to me. She said, Pastor, I have something in my heart. And I said, what is it? When I grew up in a broken home, she said. I grew up in a broken home. And when I met you and your family and I fell in love and I started dating, I've always wanted my family to be similar to yours because I'm afraid that when I have children, my children will not want to be with us because I don't know how to be that role mom. And I looked at her and I said, I have news for you. She says, I says, nobody knows how to be that role mom. But I will tell you something. Pick a great example and follow it. And she looked at me. She says, that's what I think you and your wife are. She says, I look at your family, and your family is so united, and you guys persevere. You guys don't disappear. You guys pop up everywhere. I mean, your kids are in everything, and you guys seem so tight. And I'm like, well, yes, we are. She says, what made it? And it hit me. It hit me. What makes a tribe survive? What's the difference between your tribe breaking off? Well, you know, there's this little age that I'm living right now. There's this age. I didn't live with my boys, but I'm living with my girls. There's this age, and it's the demon-possessed 13, 14, 15. And in that age, it's like I FaceTime with my daughter from Mexico. When I FaceTime with my daughter from Mexico, I'm FaceTiming with her, and this is her. I mean, literally, she's got the phone and she's looking at me, right? And I'm talking to her. Hey, honey, how you doing? She's like, yeah, I'm doing fine. And I'm like, so what you up to? How was your day? And she's like, it was okay. I'm like, yeah. She goes, mm-hmm. And like, what you do in school? Mm-mm. And I'm like, and I said, honey, do you realize that all I'm looking at is the ceiling and the floor, and I can't even see your face? And she goes, yeah, tell me. And I just wanted to stick my hand out of the iPhone and slap her right there. You know, and then I looked at her, and then, but I'm more conservative, and I won't say anything. But my wife, oh, she'll let her have it. And my wife says, you know, speaking to you is not enjoyable when you don't want to speak to us back. And she goes, but she didn't say a word. And it blows your mind away, because you start feeling that members of the tribe start fading away from the tribe. And it makes the tribe weaker. So, Pastor, what do? Do you go in anguish and strangle them? No. In your mind, you do, but in real life, you don't. Pastor, what do? You start thinking about what destroys a tribe. When you look at a past tribe in close and related to us, like this Cherokee Indian, what made the tribe disappear? Was it, come on, we're in November, was it a simple negotiation? Was it that? Was it a simple negotiation, or was it a little more profound? So the question we're really asking, and some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't get the picture. This is the fear of an immigrant. The immigrants, I don't know if you caught it. I don't know if you caught it. This is the fear of an immigrant. The immigrant came in and slowly ate it away and took them. Was it that? Was it the turkey? What was it? Was it cranberries? And what made the tribe disappear? Was it trust issues? Well, I went into scripture. When I went into scripture, I asked myself, God, how do I make my family survive? How do I make my family? How do I make my church survive? How do we have good things, those good tribes? How do you make them survive? And this applies to a basketball team, to a football team. This applies to a church. This applies to your family. This applies to your business. How do you make it survive? And I said, God, how do you make the tribe survive? And then as I was on my knees, God said, tribes. I gave you the answer. So I went into scripture and I studied the 12 tribes of Israel. They're in scripture. God's answers are always the word is so powerful if you guys would dedicate time to it. There were 12 tribes that went into the promised land. And I started asking myself, where did they fail? Because some failed miserably. And where did they succeed? And how did it happen? And then I went into the 12 tribes. And for the benefit of those that don't understand 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, and this was mentioned last week, come from Jacob. Jacob is a man who has four wives. He has Rachel and Leah. And he falls in love with Rachel. And Rachel, when he falls in love with Rachel, he asks for her. He serves her father for her, but he gets fooled and he gets Leah. And then he has Leah as his first wife. And Leah has a servant woman who's a Zilpha. But then he goes after Rachel. And when he finally gets Rachel after 7 years, then Rachel has a servant called Bilhah. And when he gets them together, they have 12 children. And these 12 children will come to be the 12 tribes. Now, it gets a little messy somewhere because one of them, like Joseph, has two kids and he's out. And another one gets reprimanded and Levi becomes a priest. And I won't go into detail on that. So not all 12 sons get there, but the main 12 tribes will have descendants. Every single one of them will have a descendant that will become a tribe. And these tribes, this is one man, for example, let's randomly pick Dan. Okay, Dan. When Dan is born, Dan is going to have the second largest tribe of all. So this one dude is going to produce 53,400 people in his tribe. That's how big the nation is going to become. It's a promise of Abraham that they would multiply and they would become great tribes. So these 12 people became a great tribe. Why is that important? Because you're sitting here today saying, who am I? I'm nobody. You're a great tribe about to happen. You are a great tribe about to happen. These tribes multiplied and they grew and they grew. This is something that stood out the most when I studied it. There was a tabernacle, which was the presence of God right in the middle. And this tabernacle, which is the presence of God, where the Holy of Holies were, where God would descend and say, I'm with you. And the power of God would come over them. And they conquered all this land, would be surrounded by the tribes. Now, that little guy called Dan, he's over here. And if you look up here on the north, you see 53,000 people accumulated defending this one tabernacle. This one tribe grew so big that they united, and God placed those tribes in strategic places. So when you look at the placement of the tribes, and I'm going to put that up, they were distributed in the following way. Now follow me, because I'm still teaching. To the east was the tribe of Issachar, Judah, and Zebulun, and they were called the tribe of the Judah, the Lion of Judah. They're known as the Lion. Why the Lion? Because there was great leadership amongst them. And as I studied it, I found out that this is the way that this is what mostly blew my mind away. What blew my mind away is that the way God divided them and told them, I want you to stand this way, north, south, east, west. Each one of those sectors had one quality that to me is crucial for every tribe to survive. Last week, Josue taught about the need. And if you didn't hear it, go back online and watch it, because it's an awesome sermon. He talked about the need of a tribe needing a leader. Everybody belongs to a tribe, and all tribes need a leader, and every tribe will have a leader. You better make sure that you're the leader of your family. You better make sure that the leaders in your tribe are good leaders. You better make sure that the leader of your church is a good leader. You better make sure that the leader, listen, if you're a Panther fan, you better make sure that the leader of the Panthers is a good leader. You better make sure that the leader of the New York Knicks is a good leader, because without great leadership, your tribe will die. Today, I want to take you to the north, and I want to speak not about the Lions, but I want to speak about the eagles. That's the title, the over title they had. Why the eagles? They were called the eagles because they had an eye to see things that others were not seeing. And the person I want to speak about, just because of time, I won't speak much about Asher or Naphtali. I'm going to speak about Dan. I want to tell you just two simple verses about Dan that steps out about all of them. Now I want you to understand that Dan and Naphtali are brothers, and they're both sons of slaves. And being sons of slaves, they were born, but I want you to see their story. And for that, we're going to go into the Bible, into the book of Genesis chapter 30 verse 4. And going into Genesis chapter 30 verse 4, I want you to see what's happening. That woman called Rachel, who was in love with Jacob, they were there. But Leah, which was the first wife, have already born children. And Rachel had not been able to have children yet. And she was frustrated because her and Jacob were madly in love. First, my dad tricked us. And now, after my dad tricked us, now he has daughter. He has children with others. And he doesn't have a child with me. So she's going to grab her servant, just like Anna, and she's going to give her in. And look what happens. Genesis chapter 30, verse 4. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. That's what she did. She took her servant and said, here, go, sleep with Jacob. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, look what she said. Look what Rachel says. Everybody follow this. This is very important. God has vindicated. In King James, I think it says, God has done me justice. Okay? He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. She names the boy Justice. Now, it may not mean much to you. Actually, it doesn't mean very much to us in North America. But the name you give your child actually has a great impact upon him. And you may think it was just in the Hebrew time, but it's actually still true today. I believe the name you give your children will cause a great impact on them. It means a lot. It's going to affect their whole future. Every time I walk through a terminal at an airport, and I walk through the immigration inspectors, I get pulled over every single time. Every single time. And I asked once, why do I get pulled over? And the guy turned to me and says, because your mom named you Carlos and your last name is Rodriguez. She says, Carlos Rodriguez, you're going to get pulled over every single time, son. And I said, okay, I get you. You see, with a name like Carlos Rodriguez, my name will affect me my whole life. Your name will carry a certain truth to it. And in the Bible, they would declare, parents are declaring the name upon the child. And when they're declaring it, they're actually declaring the child's future. So when the child is born, Rachel turns to this little boy and she says, God, you did me justice. But stop a second. She took her slave, she gave it, which slave in those times is not like slave, how we know it. It's a whole different concept. But she took the slave and gave it to Jacob, and Jacob laid with her. And when he laid with her, she woke up, and now she has a baby. And Rachel's saying, God made me justice. But think about it. What she's really saying is, in Spanish, we say Puerto Rican, lelo, lelo. Say, lelo, 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 lea, I got a baby, I got a baby. It's not even her baby. It's Bilha's baby. But she's like, her justice was defined as, I'm competing with you. Now, I'm not saying you know anybody who's competing with you ever, but some people rejoice in what they have just because they could compete with somebody else. And that's a bad reason to rejoice. But she considered that justice. So now this little boy is grown up. What do you think is going to happen with all his brothers? They're going to hate him. They're going to hate him. So they're going to look at Dan and they're going to hate Dan. But Dan was determined to be a man of justice, to turn that wrong, listen, to turn that wrong into a right. That was his determination. So as Dan grew up, he saw a lot of injustice and stayed quiet. For example, when his brother Jacob was thrown in a hole and they took him as a slave, Dan stood there and said nothing. But you know, if in God, if you wait long enough, some things will work on you and work on you and work on you until they break you. So one day, as Dan grew up, he started teaching his children, we're going to do justice. We're going to do justice. We're going to do it right. We're going to fix it. Him, Naphtali, and Asher had the same common denominator. And God put all three of them at the north of the tabernacle. Pastor, why is this important? Look what happens when Jacob's going to die, when the dad's going to die. Talk to you about the mom. Now look at the dad in his older age. Genesis chapter 49, verse 16. This is Jacob's blessing upon his son. This is what Jacob is declaring upon Dan. He turns to him and he says in Genesis 49, 16, Dan will provide justice. What will Dan provide? Justice. For his people, as one of the tribes of Israel. This tribe is going to provide justice, what he says. This tribe is going to make Israel survive because he will do justice. Dan will be a snake by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heel. When something is wrong, Dan's going to make it right. When something is wrong, Dad, so that its riders tumble backwards. I will look for your deliverance, Lord. The father turns to the son and says, Dan, you are going to make wrongs right. Now follow me, because I know some of you are like, okay. I'm going to stop teaching now. Okay, I'm going to start preaching now. Pastor, what are you saying? A tribe needs to correct what is wrong if it wants to survive. I'm going to repeat that. A tribe, any tribe, needs to correct what is wrong for it to be right. I'll give you a perfect example. New York Knicks. If you're not a basketball fan, follow me for a couple of seconds. New York Knicks will not make it to the finals this year. Pastor, why do you think they will not make it to the finals? Is it a lack of leader? No, they have a leader. They may have the wrong leader. But the main reason is because nobody will correct what is wrong. Carmelo Anthony, that's what's wrong, in my opinion. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, I'm lost. I know nothing about basketball. None of that. A guy who hogs the ball and will not share it, having great players around him, even though we have Phil Jackson, the guy who used to coach the Chicago Bulls, and you guys know who he is, in Jordan. He is now the manager of the New York Knicks, and he can't make a right shuffle to pull out what's wrong on the team. When you don't fix what's wrong in the tribe will not succeed. Now, that doesn't just apply to basketball. It actually applies
to everything. Now, I'm going to make some of you really, really mad at me. Why? This is where I'm going to start preaching. Listen. Ready? Listen, because this is the most important part. For every upward call, wow, yes, Jesus, hallelujah. For every rise, for every upward call, there will be a downward pull. I'm going to repeat that. For every upward call, there will be a downward pull. For every spiritual growth, there is going to be a carnal craving. Now I'm going deep. For every great thing in the Lord, there will be an incredible desire to go the other way. When God calls upon you, you will always feel in your heart, the greater the call, the bigger the fleshly desire, the larger it is. It is of until Jesus returns for us, while you're here on earth, some of you still don't have me. I got like 95% of you. For the five I don't have, what I'm saying is the flesh in you will always want to do wrong. Here, look, upwards call, downwards craving. I'll show you. I want to diet and lose weight. Oh, those donuts look so good. You get me? I want to have a great relationship with that person. I want there to be forgiveness. But she's so stupid. I'll give you another one. Ready? Don't panic with me. I'll get you. Just so I have everybody in the room. I want to be married. I wonder what it would be like to be single. Come on, you can breathe, people. Everybody's like. Yeah. I want to be with my beloved and wake up in the morning next to her all my life and look at her eyes. Oh, this other woman is so attractive. Upward call, downward pull. I want to live in holiness. I don't want to have premarital sex. Hallelujah. Ooh, I desire you so much. Hey, not everybody. Y'all know y'all holy and acting all spiritual. I could see the halos and the wings. I'm not talking about contemporary. I'm talking about Latino and Young United. Not you guys. But you know that for every upward call, there is a downward pull. And here's what's wrong. Here's what bothers me. I would say, well, it's sin and you don't know it, but I'd be lying. Why? Because I believe you know what's wrong. I just don't believe you correct it. Dan is the man who's going to create a tribe, or Samson. Remember Samson, the strong guy? Is born. He knew what anointing was, the upward call, but he had Delilah. Oh, Delilah, when you touch my hair, ooh. He created great things. Dan was the tribe where Galilee is. You know Galilee? Jesus of Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was from Galilee. Well, I know I'm being kind of Bible nerdish here, but Bethlehem is all the way down here, and Galilee is all the way up here. And when they're going to kill baby Jesus in Bethlehem, he flees with his mom to Galilee, and they raise him here. So they call him Jesus of Nazareth, even though he was born in Bethlehem. And that land of Galilee, that's the land of Dan. Woo! We are the crib to Jesus. What is Catawba County? Is it life? Life, what is it? Oh man, I should know this. Craftsmanship, life, and what was it? Somebody, well, life well crafted. Catawba County, life well crafted. Dan's tribe, the crib to Jesus. Come on, man. Talk about being prideful about something. Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, great, awesome. And they were the first to reject Jesus. Whew, the downward pull. David rises. And when he goes to the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Dan are the first to say, we need a leader. Judah, last week's sermon. We need a leader. Let it be David. David, rise. We're with you. David's first army against Saul comes from the tribe of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. They come from there. So they're going to have the best king that the Israel people have ever had. They're about to be destroyed after they conquered the promise. And we got David. They get there. And they are the first ones to unite against him. Upward call. Downward craving. It's just there. So as it develops, what I want you to understand is that it's in every single one of us. And this is what worries me. What worries you, Pastor? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe that man and woman that you know there's a fiber of sin inside of you and you will not do justice to it. See, no tribe survives when you don't do justice. See, a good tribe has to say, this is wrong. This is sin in our marriage. A good tribe needs to say, this is wrong with our children. A good tribe needs to say, I need to stop doing what is wrong. I'm not going to call what's good. I'm not going to say, well, it's not that bad. It's no. You know why the Indians died? You know why they disappeared? You know what's the main factor of their disappearance as North Americans? You know why we don't even remember them as our ancestors? You know why? One reason. They never stopped to correct what was wrong. They knew something was wrong in their war tactics, but they never stopped to correct it. They disappeared. See, when Dad's acting like a jerk, can I say jerk on Sunday morning? Yeah. When Dad acts like a jerk or an imbecile or Mom does it and they don't correct it, here's the problem. Nobody stands to tell them, hey, you're acting like a jerk or an imbecile. And then when the tribe disappears, is because your kids prefer not to be with you than being with you. When a woman does something incorrect, you know, it's funny. Do you know those things that happen? Oh, man, I'm going to say. You know those things that happen that they're wrong and you try to ignore them and you think if you ignore them, they might go away? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'll give you a vivid example. I'm in Mexico and I'm speaking to the pastor there this week and I'm speaking to him. He's eating tacos and then he's talking to me and then it was a toasty taco type of thing. I don't know, this thing, and he's eating it. And when he eats it, he has a crumb right here. Here's a crumb right here. So he's talking to me, and as he talks to me, I'm trying to focus on him, but all I could see is the little piece of taco on his lip. Has that ever happened to you? Is it just me? So I'm talking, and there's a little taco on his lip, and I'm trying to talk to him. And then another pastor stands up next to him. When he stands next to me, the other pastor, he has a one eye that's like completely white. It's gone. It's whited out. And I don't know what the condition is. I'm a doctor, but I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't know what it is. He's like, whole, and the other eye is there. So he keeps on looking at me, and I try to focus on his good eye, but I kept on looking at his bad eye. Do you know what I'm saying? So here I am, taco eye, and I can't concentrate on the conversation, and I start thinking in my mind, if I ignore it, it'll go away. If I ignore it, it'll go away. I ignore it, it'll go away. If I ignore it, and then all of a sudden they ask me a question. I had no idea what the conversation was about. You could have tried to ignore some things that are wrong, but just because you ignore it, it doesn't mean it's going to disappear. You may know you have an alcohol problem. Oh, Pastor, it's not an alcohol problem. I just drink 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah. You may have a porn problem. Oh, Pastor, I don't have a porn problem. I just click and it pops up. If I ignore it, you may have a communication problem at home. There may be sin. See, if it happened in church, you guys would expect me as a tribe leader to remove it and fix it. Pastor, this is wrong. We need to fix it. Pastor, the sound is wrong. Fix it. Something's wrong with the sound. Fix it. Pastor, something's wrong with the screens. Fix it. Pastor, problem's wrong. Something's wrong with our finances. Fix it. How can you require me to fix what's wrong in the tribe when you will never fix what's wrong in your tribe? We have great criticism towards the body of God. What if it flipped around? And you don't fix what's wrong. Well, we don't, Pastor, we don't belong to the church. That's why tribes disappeared. Because people will not become part of it. People would not stand up. The wrong leader will kill a tribe, but not acknowledging what is wrong to correct it will kill a tribe. It will kill the tribe. Now, I know you all hate me right now because I've told you this truth in your life, and you guys were expecting me to come in, and you leave here and say, I feel so much better today with Pastor Carlos. But right now, you're like, man, that dude makes me feel terrible. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, here comes the alcohol. Okay, I'm going to put some alcohol on you now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, here comes Tylenol, ready? Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. Are you hearing that? Instead, speaking the truth in love, and I'm speaking this truth in love, we will grow. What will we do? Grow. To become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Tribes need to create a culture of continual improvement. Families need, and God is calling out for you, mom, to get your family in continual improvement. Men of the house, listen, pay attention. I do not believe that man is priest of the household. I believe that is a misinterpretation, wrong turn scripture in the Bible. I think it's wrong. God did not call us to be priest of the house. He called us to be head of the house. It's two different things. If I'm the priest, I speak, I lead, you listen spiritually. But when I'm the head of the household, I have a responsibility. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be the one that always speaks the word of God, but it means that I'm going to make sure that the word of God is present, even if God speaks it through my wife or my children. In my household, the word of God goes sparingly all around. My wife ministers, I minister, my kids minister. We minister to each other because I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is not just in me, but it is amongst all of us. But to the men of the household, you have a responsibility of head of the household, and your responsibility is to correct what is wrong. Your responsibility is to acknowledge the need to rise before God. Your responsibility is to be able to stand up and say, I'm not going to let this tribe disappear. You have a responsibility, mama. You have a responsibility, dad. And if your mom and your dad are failing, or they failed in the past, and God has given you a new chance to a new marriage, you need to stand with your new marriage, and you need to say, you know what? As a couple, we're going to acknowledge what's wrong. We're not communicating right. I'm not acting right. You're not acting right. Come on, we're lashing at each other. We're speaking upwards call, downwards craving. We need to remove what is wrong, because if not, it'll kill our tribe. We need to make justice out of the tribe of Dan. Upward calling, downward craving. In the tribe of Dan, the judges will be born for the tribe of Israel, and the tribe with judges will become one of the strongest tribes in history of mankind. And when they remove the judges, they washed them away and said, we don't need anybody to acknowledge what's wrong. The tribe disappeared. Pastor, what are you saying? That there's carnal desires in you that you need to acknowledge that are wrong, because it's your downward craving. God calls me to do something great. And as soon as he calls me, the spirit of procrastination tells me, don't do it, 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 don't do it. Carlos, don't do it, don't get it. I called somebody over the phone this week. We have a funny situation in iChurch. And the funny situation in iChurch is that we have an administrative board. And our administrative board is composed of executive and administrative. And here's the funny thing. Our bylaw says that you have to serve minimum 1 year and maximum 4 years. Well, we acknowledged and we recognized that it's been 4 years since iChurch was born. So now everybody on the board has pretty much have to walk off, unless you walked off at one point. So we have to replace, out of our 9 chairs, we have to replace, I think it's 7 or 8 of them. So a brand new board's coming in. And it was really funny, the reaction, because as I prayed and the team prayed and we asked God for wisdom, who would be the leaders that would advise us financially and help iChurch as an organization in the top of its game, in the top of its financial situation, in the top of its expansion, a crucial responsibility to find men and women full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I started dialing and calling, not everybody. I literally prayed. I said, God, it's these 7. And if you want it, let these 7 be able to accept. All 7 have accepted the position. But here's the funny part of it. One of them tells me, Pastor, what does it consist of? And I understood the question. I explained it. And then the person turned to me again. It's one of our Latina sisters. And she says, yes, but so Pastor, what does it mean? And I said, well, it means this and this and this and so many meanings a month. And it means that you help us advise and watch the finances. And you listen to the financial reports on a quarterly, on every other month. And you have to audit. And, she says, but what does it mean? And I said, I said, is it me or is it her? And I said, what is it? And she says, well, can you give me time to pray? The only person said, can you give me time to pray about this? And that doesn't make sense to me because I'm the type of pastor that gets upset when you say, well, let me pray about it. And I'm thinking, well, let you pray about what? If God says worship, you're going to, well, I'm going to pray about worship. And just raise your hands and start worshiping God when God gives you a chance. So I turned to her and said, what do you really need? She says, no, pastor. I said, what is this? Really? And she said, I feel God has called me to do something greater. And I knew it was the time, but let's watch. I feel God has called me, but I just don't feel sufficient, Pastor. I feel God has called me to something greater. But I don't think I have enough knowledge to do this, Pastor. Upward call, downward craving. The flesh inside, the sin, the evil thoughts. Oh, all right, people. It's just me. It ain't y'all, folks. It's just for us northerners. It doesn't happen down south. Romans chapter 7. I guess Paul was a northerner. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. 7:14. You guys don't have that. I'm going to end with this Bible verse. 7:14. Romans 7:14. Paul says the following. Paul says, and you guys know it. Don't even, you know what? Don't even put it up on screen. Let them search it for home. Don't put it up. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Oh, Pastor, I'm not unspiritual. I'm a spiritual being. Paul said the law is spiritual and I am unspiritual. Sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. I don't even understand what I do, what I do it. For what I want to do, upwards calling, I do not, downward craving. But what I hate, downward craving, is what I do. My flesh overpowers my spirit. The higher the calling, the higher the calling, the stronger the downward craving. So, Pastor, what are you saying? A tribe only survives when you're able to identify the downward craving inside of you and be real and say, I have this fleshly desire in my heart. I have this spirit of procrastination. I have this anger that should disappear. I have these outlashes in my marriage. I have these carnal thoughts. I have problem with pornography. I have problem with alcohol. I have a problem with communication. I have a problem with thoughts that comes to my head. I have a situation where I feel I'm not sufficient. I feel weakened. I feel I'm worthless. I have inside of me this desire that I can't explain, Pastor. And the more God calls me, the less I feel like doing it. I know I'm called to greatness, but I keep on shorting myself short. The only way your tribe will exist and survive is if your tribe is able to do what Dan did, which is able to take what is wrong and make it right. You need to be able to identify the problems in your tribe and sit down as a leader and say, I know what our problem is. I know what our generational curse is. I know where my family is attacked. I know where my tribe is hit, and I'm not going to be part of it. I refuse to be part of it. I will stand up and be what God called me to do. And I will say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. Take it all, God. Take it all. With your eyes closed and your head bows, please. I'm over my time. I want you to close your eyes and bow.